Hello. Today I'd like to talk to you about the importance of improving the internal combustion engine efficiency, or ICE efficiency. If there's one point I make in this presentation today, it's that the development of internal combustion engine technology and the development of non-fossil fuel technology are both green, and neither can be neglected. And the reason for that is that because the development of internal combustion engine efficiency is not only the fastest, most cost-effective way of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, but it would also buy the time required for the non-fossil fuel technologies to overcome the rather substantial challenges they face in order to enter the market. This is a graph of the emissions, worldwide emissions, broken down by economic sector. You can see that the transportation sector contributes about 22% to the world's CO2 emissions. Now, Europe has been a leader in the reduction of greenhouse gases for over a decade. And during the period of 1990 to 2007, they were able to reduce greenhouse gas emissions across all sectors by 15%, except for the transportation industry, which increased by 36%. To offset that growth, the European Union set some very ambitious policies through directives to reduce emissions from approximately 160 grams per kilometer across mean fleet vehicle emissions down to 120 grams per kilometer by the year 2012, and further down to 95 grams per kilometer by the year 2020. Now, non-fossil fuel technologies can and must enter the market to be able to contribute to the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions to meet these goals and further goals down the road. But they have substantial market barrier challenges. Just to pick on one particular one, I'm going to talk about power density for just a minute. What you see here is a bar graph of the energy storage capability of the Nissan Leaf battery, the Chevy Volt battery, a gallon of gasoline, and a gallon of diesel fuel. And you can see that the Chevy Volt battery has approximately 4/10 of the storage capacity of a gallon of gasoline. But that battery weighs 400 pounds as opposed to 6 pounds for a gallon of gasoline. And the battery takes 10 hours to charge as opposed to about 10 seconds to empty a gallon of gasoline into your car. So these challenges are substantial, and many experts believe that penetration of non-fossil fuel technologies into the market through at least the midterm is going to be relatively modest. This is a projection supplied by Credit Suisse, projecting out to 2030 of that penetration, and the colored bands at the top of this projection represent non-fossil fuel technologies. The sea of blue they ride on is the internal combustion engine market. So, obviously, it's important to increase the efficiency of internal combustion engines. The good news is that those technologies that will do that are out there and they're entering the market now. I'm going to talk about one technology because it happens to be our technology, so I know it well. I also happen to think it's one of the most promising technologies, so it's well worth talking about. This is a schematic of the Scuderi split cycle engine. We call it the Scuderi engine because the inventor was my father, Carmelo Joseph Scuderi. As patent attorney for the company, I filed the first patent in the year 2001. Since then, we filed more than approximately 500 patents in over 50 countries, so it's kept me busy. In the year 2002, we teamed with the Southwest Research Institute in San Antonio, Texas. They're a very large, very reputable, independent test laboratory that is world-renowned for its engine development capabilities. We have, in the time we've worked for them, become one of their largest customers. In 2009, we fired up the very first research engine. It is currently running and running well in the laboratories at Southwest. Now, this engine has a very strong European connection. Powertrain Technologies Limited in Shoreham, England, is an exclusive subcontractor of Southwest, and they have had a major hand in the design of this engine. Additionally, Bosch Engineering has supplied many of the major subcomponents of this engine, including the engine control unit and the fuel injection system. Now, in its basic form, the most basic form of this engine, we call the naturally aspirated Scuderi engine. It functions as follows. We split the four strokes of the Otto cycle, which are intake, compression, power, and exhaust, over a pair of pistons. The blue piston represents the compression cylinder, and it does intake and compression solely. The yellow one represents our expansion or power cylinder. It does power and exhaust. And we connect the two, we transfer the gas, with a crossover passage. In this form, our naturally aspirated form, this engine is on par with today's modern internal combustion engines. However, if you add an air tank to it, it becomes a naturally aspirated air hybrid engine, and that greatly increases its efficiency. If you further downsize the compression cylinder relative to the expansion cylinder and make up for the volume change with a turbocharger, you now give this engine the capability of over expanding the gas on the power stroke. That's called the Miller effect. And the Miller effect increases both efficiency and power density. And that's why we call this third embodiment the Scuderi Miller engine. If you finally combine the air hybrid feature with the Miller feature by adding in the air tank, we now have the Scuderi Miller air hybrid system. And this engine is highly power dense and extremely efficient. And it provides major advantages for very modest costs. Now, to prove the worth of this technology to interested automotive manufacturers, we commissioned Southwest Research Institute to develop a software simulation program that would enable us to simulate our engine in cooperating manufacturers' vehicles. What you see here is the results of our Nissan Sentra project. This project, by the way, is worldwide, but it is concentrated primarily in Europe. The gray bar on the left is the fuel consumption of the Nissan Sentra as it was driven through the U.S. drive cycle, FTP 75. Then at that point, we took our engines and sized it to match the performance of the Nissan engine and substituted them in and redrove them through the drive cycle. The two blue bars represent our naturally aspirated and our naturally aspirated air hybrid engine. The two green bars represent the Miller and the Miller air hybrid engine. When we get down to the Miller air hybrid, the one on way over on the right, you can see we saved 35% fuel. We ended up burning 35% fuel less through the same drive cycle without any sacrifice in performance. Now, as significant as that fuel reduction was, the fuel emissions were even more significant. This is a chart of the key characteristics between the Nissan Sentra engine as measured and the Miller, our two embodiments of the Miller engine, the Miller and the Miller Air Hybrid. The most important row in this document is on the bottom, where we measured and tabulated emissions. You can see at the bottom that the Nissan Sentra emitted a pretty hefty 181.8 grams with its conventional engine. When we got to the Miller Air Hybrid, though, we reduced that down to 118 grams per kilometer. Now, that's below the target of 120 grams set by the European Union for 2012, and that's set for the mean fleet emissions. This is on a full-size car without any sacrifice in performance and no change in fuel for a very modest price. Additionally, I can tell you that in our simulation program, we have for smaller engines of 100 kilowatts and less, actually attained emissions below the 95 grams per kilometer measure, target of 2020. So this is why this technology is important. All we did in this particular case is take an internal combustion engine and substitute it for a more efficient internal combustion engine, the Scuderi engine. This is why we believe and have a great deal of confidence that this type of technology will impact your market in the very near future. Merci. Thank you.